This morning we're going to continue our series on kingdom treasure. And I'm just so appreciative of the presence of the Lord today. And as I've shared with the church many times, the Lord moves amongst us and the hour gets late, but it's not so that we'll cut out his word. Because you see, his word is everything. It's everything. Without the word of God, we don't know how to live. I was thinking this last week, the scripture says we have the mind of Christ. And I want the mind of Christ, and I've prayed for the mind of Christ, and I said, Lord, I need a deeper understanding of what that is. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, well, in your mind, you have thoughts, and you have words. So the Bible is my thoughts, my words, written down in a book. So if you have a Bible this morning, you can hold on to the word of God, the mind of God. The mind of God is his word. Amen? And so we have this cliche, you know, I have the mind of Christ. Well, how much are you in the word? Because if you're not in the word, you don't have the mind of Christ. You can say it, but we need to be in the word. The word is quick, it's powerful, and the Lord wants it to work in our lives. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's eternal. It's the only thing that's eternal. Our spirit's eternal. His word is eternal. So the word of God is what works in our spirit. Hallelujah. Because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your word this morning as we study this kingdom treasure today. Lord, thank you, Father, that you bring spiritual truths to us in Jesus' name. So once again, welcome. We are on a series, and this morning we are going to take a look at another treasure of the kingdom. The first week we uncovered the kingdom of God is like a treasure that's buried in the ground. And it's full of incredible value. And it's worth any sacrifice that we would make to have it. Next, Jesus talked about the leaven. The kingdom of God is like leaven. It began very small and insignificant. And when placed in the hearts of faithful people, it has made a great impact worldwide. And so today we're going to look at a parable on the seed. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And so as we get going, I just wanted to show you some pictures of our garden, because our garden was planted from seeds. And this is Apostle Leonard's garden. And this is our daughter Teresa, who is married to Pat's son, David. She came over to help plant the garden. And this is what the garden looked like. Did look like, yeah, when we started. And then, yeah, that's the garden today. Grown from the seeds. You can see the green beans have grown over the fence. The tomatoes are like, they're over 6 feet tall. They went over the fence too, many of them. But all of this was from a seed. And this is my Healing Streams Center. And I, out front, I planted these sunflower seeds. And Leonard helped me put together that planter. And it's a bottomless planter. So we dug up the ground and got it all ready and put the planter on it. And really the main thing was to have my sunflower seeds protected from my dogs. So those are the beginnings of them coming up. And then you can see how tall they've gotten. They were different varieties. And the middle picture, I just had to share that. That is our Rottweiler. And he's practicing looking like our statue. He's got his pose going on out there. But that is my little Healing Stream Center. And I so appreciate that place. And the presence of God that's always with me. So, and amazing how these little seeds, you put them into the ground, and you just can't imagine that all of that is going to come out of him, because all that potential is in that little seed. And God says the kingdom of heaven is like a seed. So let's take a look at our scriptures in Matthew. Matthew 13, 31 to 32. It says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So Jesus uses a lot of agricultural illustrations to explain from the natural a deeper spiritual truth. And he talked mostly to farmers and fishermen. That's who would have been listening to him. And so they would have understand this saying very well. But the first thing to know about the mustard seed is it's just so small. It's maybe 1 or 2 millimeters. It's very, very tiny. And when you place it in the soil, it just kind of just disappears. It's kind of like planting some of the sunflower seeds. They were so small and they were so dark that once I planted them, I thought, did they get planted? Are they really going to grow? You know? And so it was just fun to watch them begin to spring up. But the kingdom of God is like this little mustard seed from its very beginning. The beginnings of it was very small. It came in just the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was teaching about that. And people didn't quite recognize what a treasure that Jesus had on the inside of him and what he was doing. But it began to be replicated in his disciples and eventually went around the world. And the kingdom of God is like a seed. And it grows if it's planted in the right environment. So much of our time is spent getting the soil ready, right, for the seeds. Who's had a garden in here? So, or take care of plants, you know what I'm talking about. Leonard was a farmer, grew up on the farm. So a lot of time is spent preparing that soil. And there is actually another passage about seeds that we're going to take a look at too. And it's a parable that's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it must be an important parable because all three Gospels talked about it. And if we understand this, then we're going to be encouraged, because we're going to understand why people respond to the word, the gospel of God, when we share it with them, why they're responding the way they are. So let's just read through it and then we'll talk about it. Matthew 13, 3 through 9. Then he spoke many things, this is Jesus, to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed some seed, it fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured it. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So the understanding of this parable is obviously limited to people who have ears to hear. And as you go on in the scripture, and this isn't on the PowerPoint, but I just wanted to read ahead a little bit, because Jesus explains what he's talking about. You see, this riddle, this parable is like a riddle, and it has a spiritual meaning. And without having eyes to see, ears to hear, you're not going to understand what Jesus is saying, because not everybody's going to get the message. So reading on in verses 10 and 17, which aren't on the PowerPoint, you'll just have to listen. It says, and the disciples came and said to Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And it was interesting because it seems like from this time on, Jesus spoke to them always in parables. He used to just teach, but he stopped that and began to teach them in parables. He said, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables." And if you go on down to verse 34 in that 13th chapter, it says, "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them." So I found that very interesting, but as I thought about that, I thought, you know, they had proclaimed that Jesus cast out devils by using the devil. Do you remember? They were totally closed to anything that Jesus had to offer. And so Jesus said, "Okay, if you want to totally close your heart off to me, then I will totally close off any revelation and understanding to you. I'm just going to talk to you in parables." And the scripture says not to cast your pearls before swine. And some people would find that saying very offensive in our culture today. They'd say, "Oh, well, that is just so rude." But that is the truth. Jesus said, "I am not going to share with you the precious treasures of the kingdom of God because you have no regard for them. You have no regard, or you will not acknowledge God." And so, just like I hardened Pharaoh's heart, I'm not going to give you any understanding. But we have to remember, Pharaoh hardened his heart before God hardened his heart. Okay? It's our response to God. So when Jesus is talking about this parable, he's talking about the soil that's on the inside of people's hearts. And he was quoting from actually Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. He said, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but they couldn't hear it." So back to the parable of the sower, remembering that those that have ears to hear are going to understand it. But Jesus didn't explain it publicly. He took his disciples aside, and his disciples began to ask questions. So what that tells us is those who seek after God for an understanding and come before him, he's going to reveal all things to you. You're the ones he will teach. Others aren't going to get it, but they still need the gospel. Amen? They still need the gospel. So back to the parable, the story begins with the farmer who is sowing seed in a field. And the seed in the story is very, very valuable. Because when you think about a seed, it holds, it encapsulates all the promises and potential that that seed can bring forth. It contains all the necessary pieces for new life. So a seed is full of potential. And each and every seed that this farmer scatters has that potential to produce life. And so the farmer would go out into a field, and he would reach into his satchel, and he'd take out a handful of seed, and he would broadcast it out on the ground. He'd throw it out. And this farmer seems to have little concern about where he's throwing his seed and where it falls. And so the multitudes that's listening to the story, they would kind of gasp because, you know, this seed is very expensive. And normally a farmer would really prepare the ground before they're going to put the seed in it. But in the story, the sower hadn't done that. He was just taking the seed and he was throwing it out. And I'm sure people were thinking, well, if that's the way he's going to sow his seed, then there's potential that he's not going to have any fruit to sell, and there's potential that his family is not going to have anything to eat. And so I'm sure they were wondering what in the world this meant. But some of the seed fell on that beaten path, and it was eaten up by birds, and some fell on the rocky soil and began to grow, but then it got scorched by the sun, it said, and then some fell in the thorns, and the seed took root, and it started to grow, only to be choked by the weeds. Things don't really look good for the farmer until he gets to that final location where there's fertile soil. And when he sowed that seed, Jesus said that it would take root, it would grow, and these seeds would produce 160 and 30 times more than what is sown. But in reality, all the farmers standing there knew that the most their seed ever produced was 20%. They got back a 20%, 20-fold. But Jesus is saying they're going to produce 100, 60, and 30. So the kingdom of God is like seed, and in the parable, that seed is generously sown. And the seed, of course, is the gospel being sown into people's hearts. So Jesus goes on to explain the story. So we're going to read that in Matthew 18, or 13, 18 to 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. So let me tell you, just because someone is happy they got saved and they look like they're really joyful, that is not proof that salvation has really taken root. Joy is not an indicator. We'll look at that a little bit later. For when tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So as you read this explanation that Jesus gives, one thing that really stood out to me is every single one of us are sowers of the seed of the gospel. We all have the responsibility to sow that seed. And we see that the sower here just, he sowed it everywhere he went. He didn't try to decide, is this person worthy of it? Will this person really hear it? No, he was just out there sowing his seed. You know, God is generous with the gospel of the kingdom. And you're that sower that has that gospel seed in your satchel. It doesn't matter what kind of satchel you have, because when you think about so many people will say, well, it's the sower that there's not any results coming. The sower probably needs to be more charismatic. Or maybe the sower needs to be a male rather than a female. Or maybe that sower needs to carry a name brand purse, because, you know, then people will notice them. And then someone else might say, no, they need to wear jeans with holes in them and a black t-shirt with skulls on it or something. Then people will notice it. So often people will look at this and at churches, and they'll say, well, the sower needs to change their method. Jesus doesn't say anything is wrong with the sower. The sower sows the seed of the gospel. And every one of us, in our many shapes and sizes, our different forms, our different likes, dislikes. We are the ones that are sowing the seed. God chose you to sow his seed. And so he didn't say anything about how to present that. You just sow your seed. You take it and you sow it. You talk about the gospel of the kingdom. The only way we can be saved is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that is what we are. We are sowing into this world. But what this parable is telling us, it goes into all kinds of hearts. And, you know, we'd be foolish to say that there's something wrong with the seed, right? The seed is the seed. It has all the potential in it to produce. So when you read this explanation, you understand that you can sow seed into many people's lives, but it's the soil of their heart that keeps it from taking root. And so when you understand this, you're not going to feel so rejected when somebody rejects you. Because it's not you, you're the sower. God assigned you to sow. God gave you the gospel seed. There is nothing wrong with the seed. But it is the heart condition. The heart condition. So we're going to go on here. So it's not a problem with the seed. It's a problem with the soil. So as the farmer sows, the first one fell on the beaten path. And Jesus describes this heart as one that does not understand the good news that's given. And the feeling here is like some people who are given the good news of the kingdom of heaven just don't have any idea what to do with it. This person may be unconcerned with the things of God. Don't think about it too much. The person just doesn't understand God's work in their life. And because they're ignorant, they disregard what you said. And often this person, it talks about the beaten path, their heart has become calloused towards God. So the first type that Jesus discussed is a dangerous place to be if your heart is hard towards God. Because whatever you hear, you're going to push it away. It's going to fall on the hard ground. But there are people like that. But it did not stop the sower from sowing the seed of the gospel. And that's what we have to keep in mind. You know, we might think, well, they don't want to hear it, but if you have an opportunity to share it, you should share it. Because we throw out that seed. And the other seeds fell on rocky soil, was the next soil. And that's the heart that they received it, but when trouble came, it was just planted in shallow ground. And so when trouble came, like the sun came out, there wasn't root to it. And we've met many people many times that that's been their experience. But that doesn't mean that that person at some point in time will not completely turn to God. And so we never give up. We keep sowing. But Leonard grew up as a farmer, and he comes from a family with large farms, farmlands. And he has this thing with picking up rocks from the field. He used to have to go out and get the rocks from the field because rocks will cause a lot of problems for the plants and for the disc and the tractor when they're going out. But he would collect rocks. And he's brought home some really nice rocks. He's got an eye for rocks. And when he was helping up at the mission and they were getting all that ground ready up there at the Faith Mission, he helped build the tiny houses for the homeless. He would bring rocks. He'd get them because there were a lot of rocks that they had to take out, and he'd put them in his truck, bring them home, wash them, and a lot of times he'd bring them up here to church and put them around. But it's just interesting how these rocks are in the earth. I don't know if you've ever had a garden or if you've ever plowed, but it's amazing to find these rocks. Yeah, have you ever experienced that? You know, we live in a culture that probably sometimes has difficulty relating to the stories that Jesus shared, but because they haven't lived it. But you should spend a summer on a farm, right, Leonard? Yeah, I think that'd be good for every high schooler to have a course on working on the farm. Nobody said amen. You're thinking about your high schoolers. They're going, oh, I'm not going out there. We took a group of children that we ministered to down in the neighborhood when we did street evangelism. We took several busloads, and we went out to a farm, and we introduced them to farm life out there. And the first thing they all screamed was, it stinks out here. Shock, you know. But so many children do not have that opportunity, but everyone should take a little opportunity to get out and experience what it's like to be on the farm. But too many rocks will hinder the growth of the plant. So the heart received the gospel, and it could look like that. And you get all excited because you think the person that you share the gospel with is just taken off with that. But then trouble comes, and their faith begins to wither. Then the next one was the seeds were full of weeds, and the ground was full of weeds, and the seeds got choked out. And Jesus specifically said that it was the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that distracted their hearts from the gospel. And we know there's so many distractions. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, yeah, there's a lot of things that distract me and try to pull me off course to keep me from pursuing everything that I know God has for me. But I encourage you, recognize it. Don't let it choke off your relationship with God. There is always something that's going to come up. You know, for the families that are here after they've had such a week burying loved ones, but they're here. Why? Because they love God and they want to fellowship with the saints, because our strength comes when we're together. Amen. When trouble comes, it's not a time to run from church. It's a time to run to church. When we're sorrowful and weeping, it's not a time to stay away from the family of God, but to come and be with the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God. So the Bible says that it did fall on good soil. Some of it did. And that the seed would supernaturally produce 160 and 30 times what was sown. So like I shared, the increase most of the time in the ancient East was about 20 times. And so this was supernatural. Something supernatural taking place. It had to be by God. And so the good news is God does it. We're not responsible for the soil of people's hearts. And when we try to take that responsibility and personally feel defeated or rejected because someone rejects the gospel, that is God's business to change hearts, to work in soil. You're the sower. You've got the gospel seed. It's your responsibility to sow the seed. And of course, we always love people, respect people, be kind to people as we're sowing the seed. It doesn't do any good to hit somebody over the head with a gospel, right? Right? Bible thumpers, there's a way to present the gospel. Hallelujah. And the love of God is what changes us, isn't it? The love of God. It's the love that we have one for another that causes the world to say they're different. The church is different. The church should be very different from the world. The church should not look like the world or act like the world. Hallelujah. It gets quiet in this Presbyterian church. So time is spent in a natural garden getting the soil ready. And there's time spent in God's presence. Today, God's tenderizing our hearts. I talked with Pastor Cheryl before church this morning. She said, you know, this is supernatural September. We were talking supernatural September. And God supernaturally moved this morning. And he's working on our hearts. Because the kingdom of God is being established in each one of us. And we are kingdom representatives here in the earth. And God has an assignment for every person sitting here. You are valuable. You are valuable in the kingdom of God. Because you know what makes you valuable? Not because you're all that. Not because you're so good looking. Or have such a great job or drive such a nice car. That's not it. But you are valuable because this treasure that we've been talking about is on the inside of you. Thank you. I think we can do better than that. It's on the inside of you. Woo! Another thought the Lord gave me about this seed is so small. You know, it's more important that we remain in our thinking humble and small. So many times, new Christians will go, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and it's going to be huge. And just think small. Take care of the small things that God has given us to do. Be faithful, the scripture says, in the little. And God will give you more. Be faithful with another man's vision. Be faithful with the vision where you work. Be faithful to that. God will reward you. It's not about the big things. Remember, through this whole thing, we're learning God is in the small things. God is in the small things, and then he makes them big. They grow. They grow in his time and in his season. We cannot make things grow. When Pastor Leonard and I planted the church, we agreed we were not going to have a church where we hype people up and emotionally stir them up so they get a fix on Sunday. If the presence of the Lord doesn't come and the Holy Spirit doesn't move, we're not going to try and make anything happen. We grew up in a church that knew how to make it happen. And it's too much work. It's just too much work. When God moves, just like he's been moving in our services, when he moves supernaturally, our hearts are changed, our lives are changed, and we want more of God. We don't want more of something that will make us emotionally feel good. There is this settled peace that the Spirit of God is establishing at River of Life. We're a church of peace. People have come in and said, it's so peaceful here. Even people that use our building during the week, they'll say, there is something about the atmosphere in this place. One person told me, ooh, I like the energy in here. Well, that's the Lord. He's the Prince of Peace. He's here to calm the storm. And that is the gospel seed that we can sow. It's peaceful. It changes lives. The seed changes them. We don't change them. You can't pat yourself on the back. Don't. I encourage you, don't pat yourself on the back and think that it was you that caused anybody to move. Because if God does not work in the heart of that person, nothing is going to change. But when God does work in the heart of the person, we see it at work, and it's like this divine explosion is going on. When people are desperate for God, and they're desperate for God because God is with them. I want you to know that God is moving in your heart. It is God who's at work within you. Thank you, Lord, that you're at work within our River of Life family. Thank you, God. Mold us, make us, heal us, make us whole. Every day we face struggles. Every day we go out into the world. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I overcame the world. So we can find a cheery place even though the world looks pretty dark. But as the world gets darker, you're supposed to be getting brighter. So how bright are you? You know, are you a 20 watt? Are you a 100 watt light bulb? What's going on in you? How bright's your light? Because in the midst of everything, we are the light of the world. And God has given us so much. He's so faithful to us. Thank you, Lord. So the questions would be, what is the condition of the soil in your life? And I really believe God is always working in my soil. I don't know about your walk with the Lord, but God gets in my stuff. He shows me where those weeds are. Yeah, yeah. He shows me where those rocks are, those hard places. And our prayer is, Lord, break up that fallow ground. Break it up. Break it up. So looking at the condition of your own life, and then the other question would be, are you ready for Jesus to do something new in your life? Pastor Cheryl prophesied it this morning. Yeah, God is doing something fresh and new. We have to be open to it. His grace, His mercy is new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And the last question is, are you spreading the gospel seed wherever you go? Yes, Elder Sylvia says, yes, I am. Yes. Look for those opportunities. Don't be shy. People are hungry. People seem so much more open right now. Have you noticed that? So much more open. It's time for harvest, church. It's time for harvest. It's harvest time, Jesus said. Look at the harvest. It's ripe. But the laborers are few. When you're a part of this family, we are evangelists everywhere we go. Take the good news of the gospel. Take the good news. If you don't spread it, who's going to spread it? I don't walk the path you walk. How many of you run into each other during the week? You see each other very often during the week? Unless you purposely say, I'm going to meet up. But I mean, out in the community. Yeah. Occasionally we see each other. It's always fun when you see a family member, right? Out in the community. But most of us walk different pathways. Does anybody work at the same place? Besides the Moore family. They all work together, which is often. You guys do? Awesome. Well, then you're a team, right? Sowing the gospel. That's awesome. It's always nice to remember to pray for our brothers and sisters as we go during the week, as the thought comes to you. We're also a praying church. We've got to pray. We've got to pray, or we'll grow weak, right? You grow weak when you don't pray. Keep your prayer life up. I love our River of Life family and how God has brought us together from so many different backgrounds. And there's unity of the Spirit. And the Lord says where there's unity, He blesses us. The anointing is upon us as we come together. And I just really sense the Lord is just really still just hovering over some of you. So let's all stand at this time, and we're going to ask Highest Praise if they will lead us in our closing song, and then the elders will be up here for prayer, and also our prophetic team will be up here. And if you need help during the week, if you need any biblical counseling, you can call me, and I'm available. I'll make myself available to the people that God sends into the River of Life family. Amen.